In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our text for today is the epistle reading from Romans 6, which I've just read. Please be seated. Over the many years of the Christian church's history, powerful people and groups have tried to co-opt the mission of the church for their own personal gain. Popes and princes used the pulpit to preach the later crusades that had nothing to do with defending Jerusalem from invading Islamic terrorists. As Lutherans were aware of how the Pope and his minions sold indulgences in the years leading up to and during the Reformation in order to buy churchly titles and to fund church building projects such as St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. American presidents and other politicians have used the church to bolster their message, and as a result, the message of the gospel, that is, the free forgiveness of sins that we have by Christ's death and resurrection, has become a bit muddled. To add to that, we have our own ways of muddling the proclamation of the gospel today. This happens when we confuse the mercy work of the church with the gospel. While it is vital that the church engage in loving our neighbors, as the commandments told us today, how to love our neighbors as ourselves, these things are not the gospel. They are commanded by God, and they please God when we take care of our neighbors' bodily needs, but they are not the gospel. These works result from the gospel, certainly, but they are not the gospel itself. We also might be tempted to think that the business of the church, meetings, boards, councils, building parsonages, are the gospel. Now, while these things are important to keep the church operating in the world in which we live, they are not the gospel either. We ought to be very careful not to co-opt the gospel in order to confuse it with anything else, lest we muddle the message. In our epistle reading for today, St. Paul gets down to what is the real business of the church: sin and grace. He says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." The real business of the church, according to St. Paul, the other apostles, the prophets, and even Christ himself, is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is why St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "We preach Christ and him crucified." This is why he, just a few paragraphs later, tells those same Corinthian Christians, "I was determined to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified." The true business of the church is what Christ Jesus has done for you. It is, as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For our sake, God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." But pastor, you might say, Christ was crucified some 2,000 years ago. Or, but pastor, it's not Good Friday. Why talk about the crucifixion today? Because, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the heart and soul, the very center of Christianity and the lifeblood of the Church of Christ Jesus is Jesus Christ and Him crucified for the sins of the whole world. The cross of Christ, as one hymn puts it, towers over the wrecks of time. It is in the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that our God reconciles us to Himself and makes all things new again. It is by that death and resurrection that we are saved from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. This is why we can no more leave behind the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus than baseball players can leave behind batting, pitching, and hitting, and fielding drills. Batting and hitting are the same thing. Without the cross of Jesus, Christianity is reduced to nothing more than moralism and therapy. Jesus either becomes a life coach or a vitamin for us rather than our Savior from death and hell. For it was by the cross that Jesus won salvation for all of us. And that is the gospel. And that is the source of everything that the church does in love toward the neighbor. And it shapes how we conduct our business in running the church today. But if Jesus won forgiveness, life, and salvation for us on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago, how do we get it today? After all, no one can go back to the cross and get salvation. Even if we could go back to that day, that first Good Friday, there is no guarantee that being there would earn for us salvation. Indeed, there are many who were at the crucifixion of Jesus who were condemned. So how exactly is it that we inherit eternal life from the cross of Jesus Christ? St. Paul spells it out very clearly for us in our epistle reading for today. He says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" Baptism is not just a symbol that, as some falsely believe. Baptism is the means by which we are incorporated. We are made a part of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By being baptized into His death, our sins are drowned, and the old Adam in us is drowned forevermore, buried in the tomb, never to rise again. And because we have been baptized into Christ's death, we are also joined to His resurrection from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life, He tells us, and we are made partakers of that resurrection and life by being incorporated by baptism into His life, death, and resurrection from the dead. We cannot overestimate the power and importance of baptism in the life of the Christian. In fact, Jesus made baptism a priority of the Christian church in the end of Matthew and Mark's Gospels. He says in Matthew 28, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Disciples are made by baptism and by teaching. But it's more than just a learning experience. After all, our Lord says also in Mark 16, "And He said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.'" St. Peter says in his first epistle, "Baptism now saves you." In the font, God reaches down into the muck and mire of our sin and death, and He raises us up to new life in Christ Jesus by joining us both to His death and to His resurrection. Baptism is the business of the church, for it is the very thing that incorporates us into the life of Christ. It is truly the sacrament of the gospel. I realize that as a congregation, we are facing some pretty challenging and important things, both from the outside and from the inside. We don't have a very clear way forward as to what we're going to do with the house. We don't know what kind of suffering that we're going to face as Christians as the world continues to darken around us. And yet, we know that the Lord of the church, who saved us by Christ's death and united us into one body. Yes, in Christ, we are all one body. He knows exactly what is in store for us. He works all things together for good for those who believe in Him. And because we are united to Him by our baptism into Christ, we can confidently go about the true business of the church, to continue to receive from God the forgiveness of our sins, life, and salvation that He has won for us by His life, by His death, and by His resurrection through the means that He has appointed to give them to us. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized have been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ? We belong to Him. He belongs to us. In Him, we are united to one another into the mystical body of the Holy Christian Church, and Christ Jesus is our head. Where He leads, that is where we will follow. He has gone before us into the grave, into the resurrection, and into His eternal kingdom. And because He leads us and goes before us, that is where we will go. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.